This message was recorded live at the Ark Church in Conroe, Texas.
Tonight is one of my, I don't do this much, but this is a 10 things, 10 ways to respond to God's grace. And it's interesting. Grace is one of those subjects that you get into it and it expands on you. Ever had that? What's the food that you eat and it just like expands on you? You're like, is it rice?
Yeah.
Rice? Pasta? Come on, guys. We ought to know that. Y'all are experts. What eats and do we?
They quit throwing rice at weddings because the birds would eat it.
That's true. It's always good for the birds. And they stopped throwing rice at weddings because birds would eat it and it would expand in their stomach, kill the birds. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're grateful tonight. We're grateful for your grace. We're grateful for your spirit. We're grateful that we have the capacity, the ability to hear, to learn, to grow, to change. Father, I ask that you would give me words to speak that are clear and accurate. And Father, thank you for your anointing that breaks yokes and causes clarity and light to come. So we thank you for that. We look to you for that. We believe we're not wasting time tonight. Lord, we're honoring you and valuing spiritual things that are eternal, and that makes a difference in our lives. I give you all the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 By the way, just want to tell you, it's good to see you in church. You know, there's a lot of things you could be doing on a Wednesday night. I really believe this is profitable because you can get insight from the Lord that absolutely can change your life. And just, you know, one little thing that he can say, I don't even have to say it. I've said things before and had people say, you know, you said this and you were talking about this and this is what I got. And how many of you realize that the Holy Spirit is a marvelous teacher and he can make something come alive to you and you've never seen it before. And that's really cool. And so what you're doing in here tonight is really, and I was thinking about it as we came in, it's so good that we have an opportunity to worship. I appreciate Justin and his team. Because when you come in, it's just good to get our minds back on the fact that there are things bigger than the junk we're dealing with.
Amen.
And it's good to remember. That's why I like church on Wednesday night. Because people call Wednesday hump day. For many of you, it's your only day in church. And we're glad that you're here. But it's a great reminder that God's bigger than anything we got going on. That his kingdom is eternal. We're part of something that is absolutely eternal. And do you realize, for those of us who are in Christ, we're going to see one another in heaven. And we're going to walk by and someone said, are we going to recognize one another? Oh, yeah. Yeah. We're not going to be fat little naked baby angels shooting arrows at one another. We're going to recognize one another, except we're going to look a whole lot better there than we do here. How many of you know when you go to heaven, you're not going to be the same age that you are when you died here? You can be that. I'm changing. I'm out. I'm opting for the younger version of Alan, the no wrinkle version of Alan, the no gain weight version of Alan, the no ache and pain version of Alan. Yeah, it gets good. If all young people who are like, I'm there now, you won't be there forever. It changes. So these are good things. Paul was talking, Acts the 20th chapter. And he's writing, and this is what he said now. He said, so now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. The word sanctified simply means set apart. When he's talking here, keep in mind that Paul is talking to people that he does not think he's ever going to see again. And so as he's talking to them, these are people who are dear to his heart. He would go and plant these churches. And I understand a bit of what Paul feels like, because once you've planted churches, and I've seen people who have come to the Lord through this church, you have a real fatherly sense of, and I feel very much, Joy and I call the Ark the fourth child in our family. And you have a real strong sense of family. And so Paul is writing to people that he loves, that he cares about. And keep in mind, there weren't other churches there. So these churches were just absolutely birthed because he went in, he preached the gospel, And these churches had exploded. They'd gone, they'd grown, and Paul felt such a fatherly way. So he's talking to them as a father would talk to his children that he loves, and he's giving them words. And how many of you realize when you know you're going to spend just, you don't have much more time with people, your last words are important. And he's talking to them. He goes, guys, he says, I commend you to God. What's he saying? I commend you to a personal relationship with God, that you have fellowship with Him. So I commend you to God. We're not following a religion. We have a relationship. That's why we pray, and the Bible said we pray, Abba, Father. He's a Father to us. He said, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace. And this is what we've been talking about. We've been reading and discovering words of God's grace. He said, which is able to build you up. That means to strengthen you, to almost like charge a battery. It'll charge you and strengthen you from the inside and give you an inheritance. In other words, you say an inheritance. What inheritance? The inheritance that we have in Christ. That everything that Jesus did, keep in mind, He did for us. He didn't do it to prove anything. He did it for us. He was already free. He didn't need to set us free from sin and from Satan and from sickness and from all the sorrow and all the junk. He did that for us. And so what He did for us, that's what we're finding out. And this is why it's great. I encourage people to study your Bible. This is why on Wednesday nights we take extra time to kind of dig down into it to find out scriptures, because we begin to find out what God has done for us. And if you don't know, you won't take advantage of it. You've heard me use this analogy before, but it bears repeating. If any of you ever hid money, like in a secret compartment of your wallet, or you ladies, maybe a purse, and you've hid money, and you're looking through it one day, and all of a sudden you're like, oh my gosh, there's a $20 bill in here. I didn't know it was here. I've gone hungry before because I hid money so well from myself, I did not know it was there. And I'm driving around. I'm getting ready to stop in Jack in the Box and order an Ultimate Cheeseburger. This was years ago when I could eat Ultimate Cheeseburgers. Those screens show way too much. I've stopped eating those now, because I blow up and y'all wouldn't say anything to me personally, but y'all talk about it when you get home. Like, Pastor Allen's putting on a lot of weight, isn't he? Yeah, he sure is, eating a lot of them Ultimate Cheeseburgers. So anyway, this was during the day where I could eat Ultimate Cheeseburgers all day long and never gain a pound. I'm looking forward to that day again, but that's in heaven. We already talked about that, right? But I remember going by a drive-thru. I'm getting ready to go through, and I reach in my wallet. I've got nothing. So I had to pull out and drive around and go hungry. But I had $20. I found $20 in my wallet. It was there all the time. But if it's there all the time and I don't know it, is it doing me any good? No. So that's why Paul said, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace. Why? The more you find out about grace, the more it builds you up, and the more we're able to receive all that grace has done for us. And grace has done a lot for us. If you think grace has only kept you out of hell, then you've limited yourself to just a bit of grace. Is it important? Yes, it is. But is there a lot more to it? Yes, there is. So we're discussing that. We're talking about that. So he was encouraging them. He said, the word of your grace. So here's 10 ways to respond. We probably won't get through all 10, but we'll give it a good shot. 10 ways to respond to God's grace. Here's the first one. We have to receive His grace. Romans 5:17. Paul is writing to the church at Rome, the Christians there. He said, for by one man's offense, death reigned, or death ruled. He's talking about spiritual death ruled through the one. Much more, those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign or rule in life through the one Jesus Christ. He said, those who receive. He didn't say those who just know about it. It's those who receive it. Now, here's a real simple question I'm going to ask you. How many of you maybe were raised in a home or raised in an environment where you knew about the gospel, you knew about Jesus, but it was a while before you ever accepted Him? Okay, here's my next question. How many of you know that you could have stepped into God's grace, you could have accepted Jesus maybe years before you ever did? Anybody in there? Was that just up to God? Did God say, well, I'm just going to let them struggle along and have a difficult life and deal outside of my grace? Or was it that you finally realized, Mama's right. Daddy's right. I need Jesus in my life, and made that decision. And when you made that decision, was God's grace available for you right then? Is it true? I've had people that have come and told me, they said, I've been coming here, people coming for years, and then coming for years, and then one Sunday, one Wednesday, raise their hand, pray that prayer, receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Are we happy about that? Yes. Could they have done it years earlier? Yes. So it's not a matter of, well, God just decided to save them. No, it was a matter of, we just decided to receive His grace in our life. And so the grace, that was grace for salvation. But there's grace for other areas as well. And we still have to receive grace there. So that's what I'm talking about tonight, is the grace of God. So here's grace, receive grace. Grace has been given, we have to receive it. Here's the way. We receive God's grace by faith. Believing in our heart, speaking with our mouth. That's Romans 10:8. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Now, I want you to keep that thought in mind, because of all these things we're going to be sharing tonight, of the 10 different ways we can respond to grace. You say, well, how do I receive grace? Well, how did you make Jesus Christ your Lord? You heard a message, you heard the gospel, and then you said, okay, I believe that. Maybe you said, I'm tired of running. I believe that. Hand goes up. You pray the prayer, and we do it every Wednesday. We do it every Sunday. And every time we do it, people receive grace. They step out of darkness. They step into light by simply saying, I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe in my heart that God raised Him from the dead. And you notice, I always have us pray that prayer out loud. Someone said, I don't like to pray that prayer out loud. It's important to pray that prayer out loud. Because with the heart, we just read it. The word is near us. It's in our mouth and in our heart. Now, let me help you with this. One of the biggest keys we have to get a hold of is we need to get grace in our mouth.
Yes.
Yes.
Amen.
It's different thinking. I understand that. It's different thinking. But we're kind of accustomed. You hear people say, well, don't count your chickens. Now, we know that. We act like that's gospel. That's not even in the Bible. That is not a Bible. That is not a Bible thing. The Bible said, with the heart man believes, with the mouth confession is made to salvation. Some of you, if you remember some of the days when they talked about, the name it and claim it, and they talked about name and claim it, and I realized there was some goofy stuff that's gone on. I've heard some stupid stuff. Guy looks across the room, sees a girl, and goes, I claim her as my wife in Jesus' name. And that woman's like, he didn't even know who she is. She didn't even know him. It's like, oh, there were girls out there claiming men and buying wedding gowns. They said, you been on a date with him? No. Have you talked to him? No. I've just claimed him. I like him. I've claimed him. Well, that's squirrely. But just because some squirrely stuff has gone on doesn't mean that you throw out here's a classic, the baby with the... Wow, that's a kind of an old one. Yeah, there's an 1830s analogy. But it's... You don't throw out the good just because some people have gone flaky with it. There is strength in words. We were created. Remember, God created, He said, let there be. And the first thing we see is God speaking. We speak. You know, animals don't speak. I know they got gorillas with an 800-word vocabulary. But it's not. No gorilla is ever going to look at you and go, dude, if you could let me out of this cage, I really would appreciate it. It's very basic stuff and porpoises. We're the only ones. I know you think your dog understands everything that you tell them. Because you look at them and you go, Daddy's had a bad day. They just look at you like, I know, I know, I know. But they have never looked at you and said, you know, if you trying to straighten up your act at work, it might get a lot better. They don't say that. They don't talk like that. We're the only ones that do. And what we have to learn to do is get grace in our mouth. You've heard me encourage you that if you've made a decision for Christ, if you've said, Jesus, I make you my Lord, if you prayed that yes prayer with me, listen, if you've prayed that prayer, you don't have to keep praying it over and over and over again to get saved. You'd be better off saying, thank you, Lord, I've confessed Jesus as my Lord, and I am saved. How many of you, when you're honest, when you first made a decision for Christ, you really didn't know if it stuck or not. You're like, I don't know, because I still know me. And I prayed that prayer, but then after a while, someone said, are you saved? And you said, yeah. And then someone else, and yeah. And then it's yeah, and then it's yes. And are you saved? Yes. And you don't think twice about it, and you don't even. How many of you now, someone asks you if you're saved, you don't stop and go. I think so. Most of us have we gotten to the place where if I ask you right now, are you born again? Are you saved? How many of you say, yep, me, got it. No hesitation. No, listen, but you say, Alan, I'm brand new to this and I'm still hesitating. Here's what would help you. If you would begin to say, thank God, I've made Jesus my Lord. I believe God raised him from the dead. Thank God I am saved. That would help you. Because it begins to take away the doubt and the hesitation. With our mouth, we begin to get the grace in our mouth. What God's done for us, we need to speak that. Instead of speaking how horrible a Christian we are, how we failed over and over again, how you wonder whether or not God even puts up with you, and it's amazing that everyone in the church, they probably know what I'm doing when I walk in the door, so that's why I sit way in the back so no one can see me and God can't see me. But how many times have we talked about how bad we are as Christians? We're not good as Christians. That's not helping you. We need grace in our mouth. It's God's grace that saved us. You say, well, I didn't earn it. Of course you didn't earn it. If you earned it, it wouldn't be grace. He was good to us. He had grace to us. So we can say, Lord, I want to thank you. It honors him when you say, Lord, I want to thank you for the gift of salvation. Lord, I want to thank you that you made me the righteousness of God in Christ. Lord, I want to thank you that you've done it. Because if he's given you a gift, when you give your kids a gift, did it ever bother you when they would put the gift aside that you paid money and you stood in a Walmart line for a long time and they put that gift and they threw it aside and they played with the box? Were my kids the only ones that ever did that? You look around and say, where aren't they? Where's that nice gift I got them? And they're over there, they threw the gift aside and they're over there playing in the box. Does that bless you? Oh, bless their heart. I'm like, doggone it, if I knew they were just going to play with the box, I'd have gone to the UPS store and got them a box. But doesn't it honor you when you see them and they take that gift and they're like, oh, thank you, Mommy and Daddy. Thank you. I just love this. They hold it. You see them, Christina with her dolls carrying her around. You see her. She loved that doll. Doll had hair that looked all funky because she pulled it up and it. But she loved that doll. Does it honor you when your kids take your gifts and receive them? Now, don't you think it honors God? This was longer than a Walmart line. Yes. When he paid such an awesome price for us, yes, to be saved, doesn't it honor him when instead of going, I'm a lousy Christian, I don't know if I'm even saved, I don't even know if God cares about me, I don't know if anybody... Doesn't it bless him when you say, Lord, I just want to thank you by your grace I've been saved. Lord, I just want to thank you that I'm growing as a Christian. I'm getting stronger every day. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for what your grace has done for me. Does that make sense? It will help you. Just try it. I know it sounds strange because we're so accustomed to speaking negatively. Negatives go over a lot better than anybody. You walk into a room and go, well, what'd you think of the Rockets the other day? Well, we don't get some stinking offense. We're going to lose this series. Now, that's not speaking negatively. That's the truth. Just saying. I just had to get that off my chest. All right. Number two. We're making progress tonight, guys, all right? You think I'm bad? We got someone coming in a couple months who's even worse. But he's good worse. Keith Moore is coming back to the Ark, and so we're really excited about it. I mean, guys, he goes to Nigeria, he goes to the South Seas, and he comes to Conroe. Hoorah. All right. Recognize grace gifts. Romans 12:6. Paul is speaking. He said, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. And then he goes into prophecy, let us prophesy. You can read the rest of that in Romans 12. He talks about different giftings that we have. He says, having gifts differing according to the grace that's given to us. Let's jump down to Galatians 1:15, which says, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace. Paul had a real strong sense of understanding that what he was equipped to do was because of God's grace. And so he recognized the grace that's on his life, and so he operated in that. I won't go into it as much tonight, but I'm going to hit it again. Actually, all of us have been given grace gifts. And I'll give you another scripture for that. All of us have been given gifts. It's a great thing to say, Lord, what have you given me? What grace have you given me? That have the ability to do things that can help the body of Christ, the ability to do things that enable you to do things well in your business and do things that they're gifts, they're grace gifts. And so as we recognize those, then we stop making such a big deal over people and what they can do, and we just recognize, oh, that's grace in them. That's a wonderful thing. So I'll hit that again later. Number three is work with God's grace. 1 Corinthians 15:10 says, by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. So grace can be present, but it's up to us to respond. Everyone has been given grace to benefit the body of Christ. Look at this verse. 1 Peter 4:10. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold or multifaceted grace of God. As each one has received a gift. Now, this is something I realize I need to teach more on, but the bottom line is all of us have some grace gift that's been given to us. Serving. Some people just marvelous at serving, that just have such great servants are, so able to serve, teaching, exhorting, speaking, singing. There's different grace gifts. And the idea is, and this is where we've got to get through the idea that certain people have gifts and the rest of us don't, because the body of Christ is the body. The Bible said it works together. All of us have grace gifts. We just have to find out what they are. It says, as each one has received a gift. This is what Peter said. As each one has received a gift, we're to use it to minister. You can have a gift and never utilize it. I've watched people sometimes on television and thought to myself, I bet you could sense a grace gift on their life that they probably maybe they're using it for the world. Maybe God's not even a part of it. And so you see some singers, or I've seen some comedians, and I've told Joy, I said, boy, you see a real pastoral gift there. But just because they have been given grace doesn't mean they respond to it. And so all of us have to learn to respond. When I was in college, early on, they some guys that I was in a fraternity, and which was not a academic fraternity. It was a social fraternity, and we utilized it to the best of our ability. And at the regret of my academic achievement. And so in it, though, I had a tendency to, they called me everyone's big brother. And by that, I mean I'm peer with these guys, but early on, you could see this pastoral sense in me. I lined up all the pledges one night in the bathroom. Men's bathroom. I lined them all up and taught them how to shake hands. Some of these guys had that that limp wrist, dead fish handshake. I'm sorry, guys, I was raised in the South, and this is not how you shake hands. Oh, come on, I can't be that stinking old. Do you know what I'm talking about? I've met ladies shake my hand harder than some of these guys, so I just lined them up and said, here's how we shake hands, guys. I was teaching them something. So, Alan, you were drunk. But there was a grace gift working here, guys. I cared for these guys. I didn't want to send them out into the world shaking hands like a dead fish. I'm sorry, just one of those nights tonight, okay? You see giftings in people often, and how they use it and how they utilize it is really how we respond. The best way is to take the gifts that God's given us and realize, God, you've given me a lot more grace than I realize. You know, people have asked me, how do you memorize sermons? Have you ever wondered how I memorize sermons? Good, none of you. Well, anyway, some people have asked me that. I don't. I've always been able to do that. Now, I can't walk around and go, dude, have I got a memory? It's a grace gift. Does that make sense? It's a great, the ability to speak and to pastor is a grace gift. Now, this might surprise you. I'm more comfortable speaking to thousands of people than I am speaking to a group of 10 who are standing around watching me sing, watching me blow out candles on a birthday cake. I hate that. I'm more comfortable speaking to multiple groups of people. Actually, this will surprise you. I tend to lean on the more introverted side than extroverted side. Say, no. Yes. Yes. Say, well, Alan, how in the world can you do that? How can you stand up here and speak? How can you feel so comfortable? I feel more comfortable here than I feel anywhere else. So how can you feel that? That's not, don't look at me and go, he's so talented. No, no, he's not. He has grace. That's God's gift. See, that's why none of us get to stand up and go, man, I'm awesome. And that's why when some of you, bless your heart, you've come to me and go, you're so awesome. You're awesome, man. You're just so awesome. And I go, no, I am not. But the one I represent is awesome, and the one I speak for is awesome. I'm not. And see, here's the deal. If we understood grace, then we make a bigger deal over the one who gives it as opposed to the ones who receive it. And we just realize all of us got grace. I would love to be able to sing like Justin. But it ain't happening. I don't have grace to do that. And I told him when I first hired him, if I ever come to you and tell you that I want to sing a solo, you better stop me because somebody's got it in my head. And I don't have grace to do that. But he does. Right? That's a great. He sings. We all want to sing. We all just want to sing with him. Here's the deal. That doesn't make him awesome. He just received grace. Some of you guys can work with your hands and build stuff. And I just think that is so amazing because I can't. Say, Alan, you keep saying that. It's going to come to pass. It's already come to pass. It's already true. I can't, but I appreciate that. Some people can build businesses. Some people have different giftings. Some people can organize things. Listen. All of us have received grace. Here's the way we find out. Find out where God has given you grace and begin to use that for His honor and for His glory, and you can watch that expand in your life. And it can get even bigger. I think we're on number four. To be continued. We'll continue next. Can you see, though, where this is such a big subject? And it's one where, this is why Paul said, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace. Because when you begin to find out what grace has done for you, it begins to eliminate any of the, it begins to eliminate any inferiority. It begins to take comparisons out of things. And you just begin to look at people and go, man, I really appreciate the grace of God in them. I appreciate what God is doing through them. And it takes, and you go, and Lord, I thank you that you have given me grace and I can operate in it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that it was grace that saved us. It's grace that's redeemed us, that set us free. It's grace that's healed us, that strengthens us. You have done so much for us by your grace. Thank you for helping us to receive more, because we haven't received all there is. Thank you, Lord, we can receive more of your grace, and that you can be honored and glorified as your grace helps and ministers to other people as well. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. This evening, if you're saying, Alan, I've never asked Jesus Christ to be the Savior of my life, or I'm really not confident of this, but I want to be. Or maybe you're here and you're in a different state. You said, I used to have a relationship with the Lord. I have really walked away from Him, but I want to come back. Or we're going to say a prayer. It's a simple prayer. You say, well, it can't be that simple. It is that simple. Because all we're doing is receiving the grace that's already been provided for you tonight. It's right there. It's just waiting for you. So we're going to say a prayer. But before that, I'm going to ask you a question. If you're here tonight and you say, Alan, that is me. You guys, you're talking to me. I want to make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. Or I want to be confident of that. Or I want to come back to Him. I'm a candidate for that. I'm just going to ask you to slip your hand up across the auditorium and say, Alan, that's me that you're talking to. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks. Thank you. Anybody else tonight? Great. Heads bowed and eyes closed. We're going to pray. Maybe you didn't lift your hand. You wanted to, but for some reason you just couldn't do it. You can still pray this prayer. Remember, it said, with the heart we believe, with the mouth confession is made. So we're going to pray this out loud. So pray it out loud and pray it like you mean it. Say, Dear God.
Dear God,
I know mankind needs a Savior.
I know mankind needs a Savior.
I know I can't save myself.
And I know I can't save myself.
Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God.
Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God.
I believe you died on the cross for my sins.
I believe you died on the cross for my sins.
And God raised you from the dead.
And God raised you from the dead.
Right now.
Right now.
I confess you.
I confess you.
As my Lord.
As my Lord.
As my Savior.
As my Savior.
As the one who forgives me. And restores me. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
My past is forgiven.
I have a relationship with you.
I'm a new creation in Christ.
Because I've said yes to you.
Father, thank you for those who have said that prayer, for those who have come close to you, for those who have come back home. Lord, I'm so grateful for that. And Father, we just rejoice with them. We rejoice at what you've done, what your grace has done as we leave here. Tonight, we just thank you for our salvation, and we thank you for everything grace has done for us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more about the Ark, visit thearkchurch.com.